This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Eastern Libya is now completely under the control of anti-government forces. Libyan army troops have defected to join the protesters and are now trying to organize an offensive against the regime of Muammar Gaddafi. That is according to senior military commanders in Benghazi. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro is there at the birthplace of the uprising, where she filed this report.
Boxes of tank shells are being loaded up onto flatbed trucks by what is being hailed here as the new Libyan army. The weapons are being taken to a warehouse for storage. The soldiers here once worked for Gaddafi, but no more. Now they are trying to gather up as much of their looted arsenal as they can for an offensive against the Libyan leader's stronghold in the capital, Tripoli. In a bustling complex, which is the center of the rebel military operations in Benghazi, a senior member of the newly formed military council tells NPR that small groups of rebel soldiers have been dispatched to infiltrate the capital. The roads to Tripoli from the east are still largely controlled by pro-Gaddafi forces, he says, and small bands of soldiers attract less attention. Colonel Tariq Saad Hussein says the aim is to take Tripoli, but the obstacle right now is the city of Sirte, Gaddafi's hometown about halfway from Benghazi to the capital. It's heavily reinforced, he says. The rebels are also trying to pinpoint Gaddafi's location. Colonel Tariq tells NPR they have information that he's moving from house to house. In a phone interview from the town of Tobruk, west of here, another defector from Gaddafi's army, General Suleiman Mahmoud, says that the rebel aim is to bolster beleaguered pro-democracy forces in Tripoli. What's not clear is how unified the fractured military command is and what kind of an effective fighting force can be assembled. Colonel Tariq and General Mahmoud, for example, are not coordinating their efforts. At an office in downtown Benghazi, dozens of men are lining up and signing up to help, writing their names and contact details on a register. People here in the east feel flush with the success of their revolution, and they say they want to help liberate Tripoli. The military isn't the only one organizing. The Libyan revolution is only a week old today, but in eastern Libya, where the state apparatus has completely collapsed, people are setting up a local authority. Benghazi has formed committees to oversee food distribution, services, humanitarian aid, and garbage collection. There is a central council that oversees all the groups in Benghazi, and they are coordinating with the leadership in other cities in the region. Despite the brutal crackdown in Benghazi, the streets are now calm. Some banks have reopened, and there is little evidence of widespread destruction. Except at the main military base in Benghazi. Men dance and chant on a tank. Around them are destroyed and looted buildings. The last pro-Gaddafi forces in the city were holed up here until a few days ago. Today, hundreds of Benghazi residents came to celebrate the victory. 40-year-old Jamal Mohamed Fala and his son were among them. He says he lived his entire life under Gaddafi's rule. I wanted to show my son, he says, that a better leadership will be coming to Libya. The horrors of the past one, though, were on full display in the army base. At first using shovels, and then with a giant digger, men here hunted for underground secret prisons, where they suspect people were either detained or buried. One underground area had blood smeared on the floor. Young men told us they had discovered soldiers who were being held there for refusing to fire on protesters. It was impossible to confirm their account, but they treated the dank cave like a shrine. Such was the frenzy and fear at the base that people kept shouting out that they could hear voices echoing from underneath the ground. No one today, though, was discovered. Jamal El-Khor was watching the scene. A member of the banned Muslim Brotherhood here, who was once imprisoned, he cried as he watched people digging.
Sorry. Just imagining myself that I'm one of them. It's something unbelievable. No human can describe this.
What happened under this regime can never be forgiven, he says. We will be free or die trying. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Benghazi.